Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story podcast, where we're looking at America and immigration. Illegal immigration has made the southern border a lightning rod for fiery political debate. How is that shaping the upcoming election, and how might the outcome impact America's neighbors to the south? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
From the BBC World Service, this is the documentary, the home of original storytelling. Hello and welcome. I'm Jordan Dunbar with a bonus episode of The Climate Question, where we look for answers to our planet's future. In this episode, recorded before Hurricane Milton hit, we're in the southeast of the United States of America.
Atlanta in the United States of America, home of soft drink Coca-Cola, birthplace of civil rights leader Martin Luther King, and southern hip-hop music, state capital of one of the places crucial to winning the US presidential election. Welcome to Georgia. I'm Jordan Dunbar, and you're listening to a special edition of The Climate Question from the BBC World Service. We're asking, is climate change on the agenda in the US election?
Lowering the cost of living will be a defining goal of my presidency.
Kamala Harris pushed the far-left Green New Deal. That means huge new taxes.
The future is always worth fighting for.
President Trump, he'll make America great again.
Georgia's got a fascinating climate connection. It's received billions of dollars in investment and subsidies for the clean tech economy. And that's thanks to Joe Biden and the Democratic Party's Inflation Reduction Act, the largest climate law passed in US history. Tens of thousands of green jobs have been created by that funding and by the policies of the Republican Governor Brian Kemp. Georgia is also a place hit by hurricanes, extreme heat, drought and more.
For the second time in a matter of hours, Hurricane Helene has strengthened and is now a Category 3 storm.
So if climate politics are going to count anywhere in this election, I'm thinking it's got to be here, right? We set out on a road trip to find out. First stop when we arrived in Atlanta was right in the heart of downtown. Sam Gringlas is the local reporter for WABE Radio. He works on politics and climate, and he came to fill us in. What a beautiful building we're standing beside. It's the Capitol buildings. Is this the seat of government in Georgia?
Yeah, so this is the Georgia State Capitol. The governor works out of here. The state legislature meets here between January and March every year. When it's not covered in scaffolding, it has this beautiful gilded Capitol dome that has kind of become a symbol of state government here in Atlanta and in Georgia.
Why is Georgia so close-run and unique when it comes to this election?
So Georgia only recently emerged as a really competitive state in presidential elections. Until 2020, Georgia reliably elected Republican candidates for president. But in 2020, Joe Biden flipped Georgia blue for the first time since 1992. That's when Bill Clinton won the state of Georgia. And this change is happening because Georgia is growing, it's diversifying, its suburbs are becoming more populous, and a lot of these new voters are Democratic-leaning, and they're starting to balance out some of the more Republican, rural parts of the state.
Okay, so let's get some basics up the top. When we're talking about blue, we're talking about Democrats. When we're talking red, we're talking about Republicans. Sketch out what the political map of the state is like with those colors.
So right now we're in downtown Atlanta. The cities and suburbs around the Capitol are pretty reliably blue. This is the Democratic hotbed. But when you leave this metro area and you go farther afield, there's a lot of really rural stretches of Georgia that are pretty reliably Republican. This is the base of former President Donald Trump's support in Georgia. And while you have these sprawling suburbs that unfurl from the city of Atlanta, at a certain point it becomes fairly rural pretty fast.
Just tell me about the amount of funding and jobs that have come into the state since the Inflation Reduction Act came in, because it's pretty sizable, isn't it?
Yeah, we're talking about billions of dollars in investment from various companies who are building electric vehicles, batteries for electric vehicles, solar panels.
And is that playing well on the other side? Because Republicans are quite often seen as very pro-business, pro-jobs. So is that helping the Democrats standing with swing voters that may have been Republican before?
I think we're in this interesting moment where there's a little bit of a fight going on over who can claim responsibility for this new investment and also the best way to spur it.
But it made sense for us then to travel to all these different places, because the way people experience climate change and then how that's going to play at the election, that's going to change a lot.
Yeah, and also a lot of these new investments in green infrastructure, EVs, these factories are not popping up in Atlanta. They're popping up all around the state in rural, very Republican communities.
And that is exactly where we're heading. We're heading to the mountains, to Cusells and Dalton. So if you have any restaurant recommendations, Sam?
There's actually a really significant Latino community in Dalton because of the carpet industry that's been there for a long time. So I bet you can find some pretty good Mexican food.
Excellent. Even more reason to go. So we're on our way to see what billions of dollars of green tech investment can actually buy you. We're going to Qcells, which is the biggest solar panel factory in the Western Hemisphere outside of China. And it is in this breathtakingly beautiful small town of Dalton. Okay, Qcells. Whoa, look at that! Oh, it's absolutely huge. So much bigger than I thought. I don't know where to go. Do you think just park? Lisa Nash is the general manager of the plant that's bringing solar panels to the former carpet-making capital of the world. She met me in what looked like a giant white spaceship. Imagine a science fiction set, but with southern US accents. Lisa.
Hi.
Hello, thank you. Jordan, this is Beth, my producer.
I'm glad to have you here.
Yeah, this is a really cool waiting area. I love that you've got all the solar panels, the blue back there. It's very futuristic.
Yes, it is. The first building is Star Trek themed, and this building is...
Star Wars. Mandalore, which I believe is a planet. Was that you?
Yeah, I like to have fun with it.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we've entered definitely the largest warehouse hangar I've ever seen in my entire life. You're talking probably three or four soccer football fields.
I don't think I've ever been so surrounded by robots or seen... These are all just moving independently. It is like a sci-fi film.
I know, but I never get tired of it. I never get tired of it. It's very polite.
Robots are moving.
Well, that's because I stepped in its way.
Yes.
Sorry.
In between dodging the robots, I spot Spencer, who's looking after the finished solar panels being checked and loaded onto huge crates.
There's a robot literally gliding by me as we speak. Not many people work in jobs that are so high tech. Are you proud? Are people proud to work here?
I mean, I've been here 5 years. I mean, I love my job.
And do people talk about climate change and what these solar panels are actually going to go on to do in terms of the clean energy?
I personally don't hear about people talking about it, but I know there's a big change coming. I'm a shift supervisor, and I didn't finish college, so, I mean, they opened up the opportunity for me, even though I didn't have a college degree. And everybody else here, I know a lot of people don't have college degrees. They barely graduated high school, and... It is a well-paying job.
And were you surprised when a factory of this importance, you know, the biggest outside China, came to Dalton?
I mean, out of all places, yeah. It opened up everybody's eyes. Like, there's a future here.
Did you know the future has a smell? It's a slight plastic and clean aroma. Anyhow, we left the factory floor and its fragrance behind to talk about how this futuristic facility had landed here.
We have four operating lines, and we're at almost 40,000 panels a day that we're manufacturing here out of Dalton. You know, we are in the middle of a large political event, but our project, it has surpassed color. We like to say the color purple, the combination of red and blue.
Democrat and Republican.
Yes, but it's so much more than that, because it started as a small community that is on one side of the fence, realizing that, hey, we have to diversify. Then you had a Republican governor who is one of the most committed to job creation. I think that if you look at statistics, you know, anybody would say that Georgia's more aggressive than any state in the U.S., thanks to our governor leading that charge. But then you've also got Democratic senators who were vested in the clean energy side. And then, of course, you have the current White House that is invested in climate change and clean energy. So we're thankful for everyone's involvement. You know what the people in these two buildings think about? That they have a job. They see it as, you know, and I see it as so much more than just the politics of it.
This factory right here is creating panels for clean energy. That's part of carbon reduction, carbon emissions. It's also creating clean energy jobs, and it's the economy, and it's energy freedom. And I've just been quite struck how, whether people call it climate change or not, the things that are happening here are still going towards fighting it. They just aren't using those words.
It's kind of like when you're a kid and your mom gives you medicine and it's cherry flavored. You're like, oh, I like that cherry flavored drink. And you don't realize you're talking about medicine.
In downtown Dalton, next to the tracks of the famous Chattanooga Choo Choo train, we had a beer and spoke to locals. They weren't talking about the green investments or even thinking about climate change when it came to the election. Again, it was the economy. Which surprises me, because as we drive back to Atlanta, we pass the sites of even more factories that will be making EV, solar panels and batteries. Our next stop is a voter registration party being held by Climate Emergency Advocates, or CEA. They're a non-partisan environmental group trying to sign people up to vote in a low-income, mostly Democrat neighbourhood. What do people there think?
Most importantly, I'm thinking about the current state of the economy, inflation, and also student loans.
What about climate change? Does it ever come up in conversations?
Yes, definitely. Just about the state at which the climate is going. So that is a worry for me.
What are the main priorities for you in this upcoming election?
I would say the economy, jobs, and women's rights, honestly. That's really my main concern. I would like for, obviously, the world to get back to where you can afford to do our normal things like get food and gas and everything else.
There was a DJ, trampolines, and even free tacos, but not much talk about climate politics. I asked Xavier, one of the organisers with CEA, what he had heard on the doorsteps.
Oh my goodness, they want to save money. They want to see more of their money. They haven't seen a lot of their money in the past couple of years. And so we're trying to talk to them about energy, saving money with energy, making their homes energy efficient, investing in solar panels. And a lot of people buy into the conversation, but the biggest issue is that they don't know how. It's like the resources are out there, but they don't know how to connect to the resources.
And do you feel like when it comes to politics, people are thinking, oh, there's clean energy jobs, Joe Biden, Inflation Reduction Act, they did that. Is that a message coming through?
It's coming through, just not as loud as I think it should. We definitely want people to hear the message more and more. We see the jobs. We know that the unemployment rate is going down. And at this point in time, one thing I can honestly say, I think our constituents are more so concerned about a job, more or less what type of job it is.
You're listening to a special US election edition of The Climate Question from the BBC World Service.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somasganda from the Global Story podcast, where we're looking at America and immigration. Illegal immigration has made the southern border a lightning rod for fiery political debate. How is that shaping the upcoming election? And how might the outcome impact America's neighbors to the south? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jordan Dunbar. We're asking, is climate change on the agenda in the race for the White House? Before we hear more from the crucial state of Georgia, let's take a very quick look at the record of each presidential candidate. America is the biggest oil producer in the world and the second biggest polluter. So what it does on climate change really matters.
We will drill, baby, drill.
The Republican nominee, former President Donald Trump, pulled the US out of the big Paris climate agreement, and he's been very skeptical of climate science. But that solar panel factory we visited in Dalton, that had support from his administration in 2018.
We have invested $1 trillion in a clean energy economy while we have also increased domestic gas production.
The Democratic nominee, Kamala Harris, is from the party that passed the US's largest climate law, the Inflation Reduction Act. That created tens of thousands of green jobs, including the ones at that solar panel factory again. Yet, she's been pretty quiet about climate change in the run-up to the elections and has even been highlighting the increase in drilling for oil and gas over the past 4 years. Which is maybe not that surprising, as all the voters we spoke to say they care most about the cost of living. Climate change just doesn't seem to be a vote winner. Republicans have a reputation of being climate skeptics. So I was a little surprised to hear that the man some call the solar architect of Georgia was a Republican and even has a podcast dedicated to electric vehicles. Tim Eccles is a Georgia Public Power Commissioner, one of the people in charge of services like water, gas, internet and electricity across the state.
Hi Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the Varsity Drive-In. Yes. An iconic restaurant here in Atlanta.
I hear it used to be the largest in the world.
Yes. Yes. And I came here as a little boy, so it's just one of my favorite places in all of Atlanta.
When we spoke before, you mentioned you're a bit of an odd bird in terms of how much you love EVs in Republican circles. But you're a big fan, aren't you?
Yes, I've had 7 EVs. I'm a pioneer. I mean, I'm an energy regulator. I feel I have a duty to try these things out and to be able to tell my constituents. I really don't think me driving in has done anything to persuade my Republican colleagues. I mean, they have kind of embraced solar now, so I am hopeful with our governor talking about Georgia being the EV mobility capital of America. I do think that has more hopes of persuading these Republicans, but I'm not interested in punishing my petrol-driving friends as a Republican, that's for sure.
And sketch me, what's your electricity grid like?
So Georgia's 50% natural gas. We've got about 21% nuclear, about 8% solar, 2% hydro, 2% biomass, and just the remainder coal. So we still have a lot of natural gas, though we are building solar panels and batteries as fast as we can build them.
How did these really high-tech green industries end up coming to this state?
We roll out the red carpet for these people. We'll build them a job training center they don't even have to pay for on their property. We're doing that for Hyundai. So when you go to the massive Hyundai plant near Savannah, you'll see a big state building there. And these counties then start competing for that because we are providing some credits back to that company for every person they hire. We've got just a wonderful package.
And what about the batteries and the EVs and the solar panels? How did it get so green and clean tech?
I think the Biden administration's infrastructure program really should be credited with that because they are giving special tax credits for all of those. So I do think credit where credit's due. And I think the package that President Biden put out there did cause a surge.
We're coming up to an election. You're an elected official, Republican. Are you guys thinking about these clean jobs, the green jobs and so on, how they're playing out?
Do you see that filtering down into votes? Do people care about this?
I think Republicans care about the jobs. You don't hear Republicans talking about green jobs. Democrats are emphasizing the color of the job, but Republicans just call it a job. And I don't really see that changing anytime soon. So I do think bringing more jobs and Georgia continuing to be a competitive state, I think that's important. We take great pleasure in stealing business from California. We love that. Yeah, I never say the phrase climate change at any meeting I go to. It only hurts me as a Republican. I think I'm better off to talk about, for me as an evangelical Christian, I talk about being a good steward of our air, our water, taking care of it. God created it. I like to refer to it like that.
It was interesting Tim mentioned his faith, because Georgia is part of the so-called Bible Belt in the United States. Religion is a big part of life here. Away from the skyscrapers of Atlanta to the beaches of the South, the part of the state most vulnerable to hurricanes, and the historic city of Savannah. We travelled to this mostly Democrat city to a summit hosted by a group called Georgia Interfaith Power and Light. They're working across religious groups to try and take the politics out of climate action.
I'm so happy to be with you all today at this conference. Some of you I got a chance to be with.
I'm Kathy DeLise from St. Mary's, Georgia. We are at First Presbyterian.
Antoine Nixon, from Folks in Georgia, and we're Baptist.
My name is Guillermo Arboleda, and I am an Episcopal priest living in Savannah, Georgia. Having served a few churches here in town, now I serve the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America in a denominational nationwide capacity.
It's a Lutheran, Episcopalian, a Presbyterian, a Baptist all walk into a bar. It's like the start of a joke that we've got here. So within your congregation, would climate change, and I use those two words, climate change, would they come up often, or is it more talking about nature?
It's more talking about nature. I think climate change in America, or at least in the South, has a political ring to it. And so it's just not named as climate change, but more what we can do to help the earth and moving toward climate change, but not there yet.
St. Mary's, where you are, that's down in the south near Florida, so you must experience a lot of the storms coming up. Can you explain to me how people here feel extreme weather and the effects of climate change?
We have huge storm surges now. Our local businesses at our waterfront are flooding more than what was typical. Even just a super moon, full moon, super tide hitting at the same time, there's water in our streets. With all that being said, it's just more frustration being expressed about what local government is not doing to prevent this from happening.
What's it like taking the politics, or certainly trying to take the politics, out of environmentalism and climate action? Antoine, how do you manage to get people of all stripes involved?
Anything God created cannot be political. It's spiritual. It's God created, you know, and so that was the element, that was the strategy that I would utilize to go in there and speak to the congregation about it. And you don't get a lot of support, really, because, you know, people, why should I care about climate? Well, easy. You only get one earth. You should care about it.
Guillermo, with your community that you're with, Georgia has some of the highest energy burdens and electricity prices. How do low-income people fare with, like, extreme heat? Is that something they're experiencing?
Yes. And it's getting hotter. When I first moved to Georgia about 10 years ago, I was told as I moved in, you're hardly ever going to have hurricanes, you're hardly ever going to have big storms because of the way we're nestled into the coast. I've experienced 4 hurricanes and maybe a couple more tropical storms in 10 years, which is way more than there were the last 10 years before that. And the temperatures are rising year by year. A lot of people who, in the communities that I've served, struggle to afford electricity, period. Maybe don't have central air, which is kind of considered basic standard of living.
So that's air conditioning now, to keep them cool?
Yeah. Air conditioning. It's that intersection of environmental change and economics and poverty.
Do you think in the upcoming presidential election, climate action is going to be present in people's minds?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think the divide is so great that I think any issue can be what is the pivotal factor when someone walks into the ballot box.
oftentimes the politicians are telling you what they want and what they aim to do and what they will do, and we hardly ever really see that. And especially in this election, it's almost like it's trying to divide the whole country. So I think we have to start pushing upward instead of them pushing that their agendas down to us.
At this point, I know who I'm voting for. I think most folks do. And whether my preferred candidate wins or not, which will have an impact on federal policy about the climate and the earth, there's so much work to do. Yeah. And when we're united around core goals centered in our faith in God, then that becomes more important than identifying with whatever political party is your fancy.
Guys, thank you so much for talking to me and welcoming me here down to Savannah.
It's great having you here.
Thank you. We appreciate you coming.
Thank you for your time.
Unfortunately, as we left, someone else arrived. Hurricane Helene.
They're coming on the air with breaking news as Hurricane Helene gets closer to making landfall. It's already an extremely dangerous Category 4 hurricane.
Georgia's no stranger to storms, but this one was more devastating than many before.
Serious flooding possible from this storm, with a half a foot of rain forecast in Atlanta and a narrow swath of 10 to 20 inches of rain in the southern Appalachian Mountains.
Scientists working with the World Weather Attribution Group think the heavy rainfall and extreme winds that caused so much damage were made worse by climate change. You'll remember Sam Gringlas, our politics and climate reporter from the start of the program. We went back to him to see if Hurricane Helene had finally moved climate change to the top of the agenda.
I think it's hard to say. A lot of people who are most directly impacted by this are thinking about their immediate needs. But certainly from Republican politicians, we have not heard a discussion of climate change in the conversation around the disaster. It's much more focused on this immediate response. And, you know, we have another storm not going to hit Georgia, but a very powerful hurricane coming across Florida this week. You know, I can't predict, but it'll be certainly interesting to see how that shapes the conversation, if at all. But in terms of climate change and the growing intensity of extreme weather far from the coast, I don't see that affecting this upcoming election.
Thank you, Sam. We really appreciate all your time and catching up. And I'm glad that you guys are safe in Atlanta, and I hope the cleanup goes okay.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks.
So, billions of dollars for clean technology, thousands of new jobs, and a hurricane haven't been able to put climate change on the ballot here in Georgia. We never really heard the words climate change from anyone. Energy freedom, cheaper bills, the clean economy, yes. How interesting that it's this investment in the new economy that has brought many Democrats and Republicans together, but for different reasons. As for the actual election, whoever wins, it's hard to see them stopping Georgia's clean tech revolution. Here, the jobs are less blue or red and more purple. Just don't call them green. That's it from us and the state of Georgia. Thank you for listening. I'm Jordan Dunbar, and a massive thanks to the team. Producer Beth Timmins, editor Simon Watts, and sound designer Tom Brignall.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story podcast, where we're looking at America and immigration. Illegal immigration has made the southern border a lightning rod for fiery political debate. How is that shaping the upcoming election, and how might the outcome impact America's neighbors to the south? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.